This podcast is part of the Christian Geek Central Network at ChristianGeekCentral.com.
Strangers and Aliens, Episode 99, the comic book crossover, Ben and Steve's old podcast.
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God?
The very first thing that God did was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello and welcome. This is Strangers and Aliens, and I'm Dr. Jace O'Neill, and today we have something a little different for you. It's a kind of a, imagine if you will, since we're sci-fi and fantasy, we're going back in time. Right now, of this podcast, you've become a time traveler because we're going back in time to listen to the co-host of Comic Book Crossover, where Ben Avery and Steve McDonald do one of their very first, if not their very first podcast ever, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Longest introduction ever.
Yeah.
It's time travel. It takes a little bit, you know, it takes a little bit of time to get there.
Yeah. We were still like phasing in.
So, yeah,
is this the very first one or one of the first ones?
It is the first one. This is the one where I can't remember which one of us posted something on Twitter and just said, I'd like to do a podcast. I think it was me. I think I posted something on Twitter and said, I'd like to do a podcast. And I think Steve replied and said, me too.
Yeah, I jumped on that grenade.
Wait. How did you even know that Steve was a real person? Because his Twitter handle is like a secret code.
His Twitter handle is not of this earth, but every single vowel is a number instead.
Yes.
And I can understand doing that for a password. Yeah. But for a name,
it's a type of writing called leet.
Okay,
we're co-hosts.
I didn't make it up.
And I kept looking for Steve McDonald, and I could not find him. And then I had to look when Ben tweeted us both together. I'm like, oh, there he is. His handle looks to me like
yeah. So I think I threw that out there, and Steve jumped on that, and so I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And we talked a little bit about what it would be about. We were at that point, it was going to be mostly comic book stuff. Mm-hmm. And mostly, you know, kind of going through, well, what are you buying this month and that kind of thing. We did talk about Avatar. Unfortunately, the conversation has not survived. Mm. But, well, maybe fortunately.
Maybe conversation. With the time traveling thing, because we're going back in time, maybe you change, it's like the butterfly effect, and it just disappeared. It never really happened.
Yeah, that's possible.
I wish Avatar never really happened.
Yeah. Well, that episode about Avatar, we argued about Avatar. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I defended Avatar.
And I hated it.
And now I would never. I mean, the things I was saying, like, it actually had a story.
Yep.
I mean.
Yeah. There was no story there.
Well,
you knew it.
There was a story there, but
whatever story they had, they stole from Dances with Wolves.
So. Yeah, it was so threadbare. But I was just so glamorized by it, where I because I'd seen it in 3D and it was so amazing. And I still defend the experience. If you can see it in 3D on the big screen, good luck. But if you could, you know, spend the time and the money, it's cool.
But you know what? Bring an iPod or bring some music and like load it up with like some really good music or something else you want to listen to, because everything you will hear from that screen is drac.
Yeah, the other thing you could do is listen to
Wait,
us.
Wait, did you just use a sci-fi cuss word?
No. Drac is a real word.
It just sounds like Trek, I guess. So.
Sorry, I've been watching Battlestar Galactica and listening to them say frack.
It's Felgercarb.
They don't use that one in the new series.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Because they could refer to Avatar with that word.
So anyway, our first podcast was called The Comic Book Crossover. And there was some crossover, so to speak, into other things. We did talk about movies and other books and stuff like that. But what's survived is one full episode and one fragment of an episode, about half of an episode. We're going to go ahead and play those today. And just so you guys, it's episode 99. Our next episode is episode 100. As of right now, we are compiling our three lists of 100, and we're compiling the listener lists of 10 to 15. some people have turned in. It's too late, though. If you haven't turned it in, I do apologize. You can still do listener feedback about the list after we post episode 100. But as much as we're talking about time machines, you can't go back in time now to send us a list.
It's a fixed point.
Like, yes, indeed. So the comic book crossover.
Let's give it a listen.
Should we roll tape?
Let's do it.
Let's roll tape.
If it's that old fashioned, then let's use tape.
It is.
It actually was on tape, wasn't it?
Actually, it was a phonograph. One of those wax cylinders. Yeah.
At least it's not an 8-track. That's good.
Yeah, because at least on a wax cylinder, it had the whole thing on there with an 8-track. You had to stop in the middle and switch sides and stuff. But
my favorite part is when it goes.
I think it's time for us to start on that note.
It's time now for the Comic Book Crossover Podcast.
I am a voice that no man has ever heard before. I am not a listener.
Attention, all true believers.
Look, up in the sky.
Who knows? In the hearts of men.
Want to get away from the room?
Anyone on the air?
Hello?
Hello? Anyone on the air?
Hello?
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Hello and welcome to the Comic Book Crossover Podcast, a podcast where a couple of pop culture enthusiasts talk about lots and lots of stuff. And I'm Ben Avery.
And I'm Steve MacDonald.
And we're your hosts for the next, I don't know, half hour or so?
Half an hour sounds good.
Yeah. We don't want to go too much longer than that. Overstay our welcome.
Yep. And if you guys want to have more or less, just let us know. We can obviously cut this down, cut it up, add more, and we can just blah, blah, blah for hours and hours if you really want.
I don't think anyone really wants that.
Introductions.
I am Ben Avery. I am a comic book writer, and I've written a bunch of different things for a bunch of different people. Currently, I'm working on a comic book about the life of Christ, and I just finished three different titles for Zondervan, one called Time Flies, one called Kingdoms, and then I was brought in mid-series on a series called Hand of the Morning Star.
Good stuff.
You'll probably be hearing a lot about these as we continue this podcast because they're finished, but they're not published yet, so I'm pretty excited about those series ending and getting those final volumes out.
And I'm Steve MacDonald. I am a writer, an editor, and a reviewer, although I don't have too much published right now, mostly short stories and anthologies. But I do have a lot of stuff, a lot of irons in the fire, so I will obviously be talking about those things as well. Nothing that's near publication.
So, yeah. So we're both interested in comic books and science fiction and fantasy.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff. And so that's what this podcast is really going to be about.
Right. And we really want to talk about how faith and religion is dealt with in these genres and how it sort of relates to a true faith and the inner workings of all that.
And have fun doing it.
Yes, absolutely.
What are you reading?
Okay, well, and so along with the introductions, we figured we'd have a topic today that would kind of introduce our tastes to you guys. And so our topic today, topic of discussion, is what are you reading? And specifically, I think it's what are you reading on the comic book front?
So what are you reading, Ben?
What am I reading? I'm reading actually more than I normally do. I'm reading a couple Star Wars series.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. But I picked up these Star Wars series because they aren't tied into a lot of the background. There's so many Star Wars comic books that just have so much backstory.
All right.
And these two series were just kind of a good jumping on point. So I've been wanting some science fiction ever since I saw Star Trek and the movie, and that just really just got me itching for some science fiction.
Some good stuff, too. I mean, that movie was interesting because as a purist, I was trying to look for all the little, wait a minute, that didn't really happen. Wait a minute, they changed that. Wait a minute, in episode this, they said this, and now they're saying this. And to have it, I don't want to spoil anything. The way that they resolved everything was very satisfying to even to someone like me, a hardcore literalist, when it comes to establishing a fictional chronology and then having a brand new movie build off of parts of the chronology, but not all of the chronology. And I have to say, it was very satisfying the way it all played out.
Yeah, they cheated. they cheated. They didn't believe in the no-win scenario, which is what they were moving into. You know, it was a great, fun movie that they were able to tell any story they wanted because of their cheat. And it was a good cheat.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people felt cheated, I guess, if they were the hardcore science fiction Star Trek nut. But, you know, if you're going in just looking for a fun story, and again, not having to worry about the thousands of hours of Star Trek that's out there, you know, this was just a fun movie and a great start, but I hope is a series.
Oh, sure it will be.
They're working on the sequel, and I hope we have some more. It was just fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I had some problems with some of the things in it, but, you know, as a whole, it worked very well. I had a lot of fun watching it. But what are the Star Wars titles that you're looking at?
You know, I'm reading, there's a series called Dark Times that is set between the first trilogy and the second trilogy. It's basically about, I think, Darth Vader going around finding all the random Jedis who weren't killed in Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
But at the same time, it's about this current series that I'm reading. It's just a short story arc. I'll finish reading the story arc and probably not come back to the series. But it's a about this one Jedi, and it's basically a Western. You know, this Jedi comes into town, he's got a past, and he's going to set things right in this town, and he has to be careful, you know, he doesn't make too many waves, because then the bigger, stronger cowboy is going to come after him.
Right.
That's Darth Vader. I'm enjoying that. The other one I'm reading is called Invasion, and it's, I guess, tied into some novels or something that were written, you know, a couple decades ago, I guess. But it's just a big, grand science fiction war story where it's after Return of the Jedi, the Empire is done, and now all of a sudden you have this huge threat coming from another galaxy that's basically going to wipe everyone out.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, they're both kind of cool. I'm enjoying them.
Yeah, I think I read some of the books. Is it the ones that use, like, biotechnology?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Their ships are kind of have an organic look to them.
Okay, yeah. I think it's based on that same series that I read so long ago now.
So the other two series that I've been actually buying on a regular basis are both tied into the old comics of the 90s. But one is the Spider-Man Clone Saga, which is basically giving the people who wrote the Clone Saga originally a chance to redo the ending.
Right.
Way that they wanted it to be. You know, I didn't read the Clone Saga when it came out, but I liked the idea. I thought it was a good idea to get, basically, you have two Spider-Mans in the universe. Mm-hmm. One, the old Peter Parker that, you know, was the lovable loser who, you know, was trying to keep a job and all that kind of thing. And then the other being the Peter Parker that, for the last, at that point, I think like 15 years, had been married to Mary Jane.
Right.
And people had grown to love. And this is your opportunity to have both of them and have your cake and eat it too. But I guess fans weren't too happy about the fact that their Peter Parker might have been a clone and the other Peter Parker wasn't a clone, and it just fly. And so they ended up going back on everything they had laid the groundwork for and made Peter Parker just the only Peter Parker.
Well, that's the problem when you get something that fans are so divided on. I mean, it's the same thing when people are voting on the best rock and roll song of all time and the worst rock and roll song of all time. You know, it can be both. A song can be both the best and the worst. It just depends on who votes for what. Yeah. And when you have people so devoted to the old Spider-Man and so many devoted to the new Spider-Man, and a lot of times things like that tear the character apart. I think, you know, Death in the Family with Robin, I think that was an interesting take on the whole let the readers decide. But I think it was so early in the whole process that the fanboys weren't so jaded as to say, well, if Robin dies, I'm never going to read a Batman comic again. But by the time the Clone Saga came around, it was just so many comics out there to choose from that I can stop reading Spider-Man and not have it affect my comic book stack.
Yeah, you know, it kind of gets into what's wrong with comic books, though, in a lot of ways.
What's wrong with comic books?
You have to market to people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give people what they want.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't let it get stagnant. You know, you have to move forward.
Right.
So I thought that was a great way of... The Clone Saga, as it was originally envisioned, was, I thought, a great way of moving forward and giving both sets of fans what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Even the old Peter Parker and the new.
Yeah.
You know, of course, then now they've done the... Okay, we've got Peter Parker single again. You know, he's not married anymore. And the
right.
reason he's not married anymore, he made a deal with the devil, you know, and just that whole thing that's all kinds of messed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, they basically were trying to do the same thing the Clone Saga was trying to do. And they couldn't do the Clone Saga again. I mean, how can you... That plan didn't work. So...
Nope.
Add this one.
Well, Spider-Man's one of those characters where they... You know, always trying to redefine him and reposition him and rebox him. John Byrne did those ones in the late 90s where he tried to retell the stories of Spider-Man, and people just didn't like them. And, I mean, this was John Byrne doing a famous character, a character he's done before, and people have loved him for doing Spider-Man. But all of a sudden, you know, he's retelling stories and basing them in the 90s instead of the 60s, and people are just up in arms about it. I mean, it's a crazy... world in comic books when you can't redefine a character. I mean, what's been happening to Superman since the 1930s? You know, I mean, it's every 5-10 years he gets a redefinition. He gains powers and loses powers, and you know, his whole backstory is changed. You know, same thing with Wolverine. I mean, characters like that. Yeah, exactly. But and with some characters you can do it. With some characters, it's so difficult to get those changes and get them into canon.
But this is why I read the books I read. I like the comic books that really present the archetype of the character.
Right.
I don't necessarily care about the backstory. I like the backstory, and it's good to have a good backstory.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Elseworld-type stories. I like the stories that just say, okay, here's a character. All you really need to know is, you know, for Batman, his parents were killed. It redefined his life, and so he became Batman to basically avenge his parents.
Right.
And so that's all you really need to know. You take that character, you do what you're going to do with it, but you don't need to have all the backstory. You run with it, and you can run with it in so many different directions. You can run with it in so many different ways. I like those stories that just take the icon and tell a good story.
Right.
And don't worry so much about years and years of arcane information that basically keeps new readers from coming in. And that's the other story, the other book I'm reading X-Men Forever, which is, it's Chris Claremont taking up the reins on his X-Men comic when he quit after X-Men number 3.
Right.
And he's taking that story in any direction he wants to now. He's taking it in the direction he wanted to go, apparently, when he originally wrote it. But he can do anything he wants with these characters. He doesn't have to worry about anything. He can take these characters, he can kill off whoever he wants, he can put other people in relationships that might seem natural, but in the ongoing saga soap opera X-Men, they can't do, because the different characters wouldn't do that or whatever. He's able to redefine them, he's able to push them forward and develop them. And that's a big complaint people have about comic books, is you don't see a lot of character development, and when you do, it usually gets undone.
Yeah. I think that's why a lot of people like the independents, because you have creator-controlled stuff, and you have someone like Eric Larson who can do 200 issues of a comic book in a row, and it's his character. Or, you know, Cerebus, it's just all character development. That's what people are looking for a lot of the time, when they're not just looking for, you know, a one-off issue that they can give to their kids on the car ride home or something like that.
Yeah, and so I want...
Yeah, so I know that it ends a little bit abruptly, but...
I'm confused. What happened there?
I honestly don't know what happened there. The file is 30 minutes long, but the audio is only 15 minutes long. And
so basically, we go back in time, and we only get half of the story.
Well, we've got a full episode now that we can also play. Yeah. We're going to listen to a full episode now, but it was really weird. When I would listen to it in iTunes, it would get to that point, and it would just stop, even though there was still another 15 minutes left. And so if I would put the cursor, you know, or drag it on the timeline to anywhere in those last 15 minutes, it would just not play. So then I dropped it into GarageBand, and it turns out there's just nothing there for that last 15 minutes. And I have no idea how the file got corrupted. We can roll tape on the next one, and it's okay. It's a full episode. So let's do that. And then, let's listen to our actual full episode.
Enjoy.
It's time now for the Comic Book Crossover Podcast.
I am a voice that no man has ever heard before. I am not of this earth.
Attention, all true believers.
Look, up in the sky.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Want to get away from it all?
Anyone on the air?
Hello?
Is everyone on the air?
Hello?
All is ready. I throw this switch.
Hello and welcome to the Comic Book Crossover Podcast. Comic Book Crossover Podcast is where two geeks or whatever you want to call us talk about pop culture and its crossover with spirituality and faith. Both comic book fans and Christians and writers and both really like to talk about this stuff. So my name is Ben Avery.
And I'm Steve McDonald.
And this is the Comic Book Crossover Podcast. So how you doing, Steve?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
What are you working on?
Just started a new part of an old project. The artwork is done on this project. It's a comic for the Voice of Martyrs.
Yeah,
and
very cool.
And I'm lettering it now, so that's.
So you wrote it and you're lettering it.
Yep. And this is my first professional lettering. I've lettered other projects before, but this one I'm getting paid to do, and so that's kind of fun.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'd let people know a Voice of Martyrs is a missionary outreach, and of course the martyrs they're talking about is Christian martyrs.
Yeah, and it's modern. It's not just, you know, like Stephen. Or Saint so-and-so. I mean, these are people in today's world.
Right.
And a big part of their mission is information. On one hand, information in the United States, just to let people know that, you know, stuff like that is still going on.
Right.
In the world. But on the other hand, it's also information for people who are going through a situation where they're being persecuted to the extreme.
Right.
For their faith. And a lot of people often they feel alone, like they're the only people who are dealing with this kind of thing. And so part of what the Voice of the Martyrs does is gives encouragement and hope to people who are going through it.
Right. And thousands and thousands of Christian missionaries every year are martyred, are killed for their faith, are killed just because they're Christians. And a lot of people don't understand that. It's not in the news as much. All you hear about is missionaries in Haiti trying to help some kids out or whatever they were doing down there. You hear that part, but a lot of times you don't hear about the wild persecution in, say, Orissa State in India or in China or in a lot of the Middle Eastern countries. And Voice of the Martyrs really gives a face to the movement as a whole, the whole
being out there and doing things and being persecuted and sometimes even killed for it. That's an amazing.
Yeah, and that's what this project is. It's, you know, putting it in comic book form, but it's a true story about a family who. It's a terrible story. I mean, it's awful, and it was very difficult to write.
Really.
And the artist, Rob Woodrum, who is also he's the artist and writer of Rabbi Encounters.
Okay.
He's said there's a couple times when he's just found himself kind of getting teary-eyed because of what he was actually having to draw.
Wow.
I mean, it was a difficult story, but it's what's so wild about it is that in the midst of all of this terrible, terrible things, you know, you have people being killed, children being killed, you know, a woman basically being raped and becoming pregnant from that, and just all these different horrible, horrible things that happened to this family. In the end, I mean, there's hope, and they get reunited, and it's just a wild story. I mean, I can't even explain the emotional roller coaster that it took me on when I was actually setting out to write this, because, you know, right. These are real people, and I want to do their story right.
Right.
You know, and they're still alive today. I mean, this couple, and I really just wanted to do justice to their story, you know, and present them as human beings who found supernatural strength and hope in the face of all these horrible things that were happening to them.
Right. Wow, that's fantastic. And that's at persecution.com is the website for Voice of the Martyrs. And Rabbi Encounters, Rob Woodrum's site is rabbiencounters.smackjeeves.com. Is that right?
Sounds right.
Why would anybody want to smack Jeeves? I don't understand that.
You know, sometimes he just talks stupid stuff, you know, and you just got to smack him.
He always
just say, Jeeves, stop.
He always speaks so highly of you and Rob. I don't understand. Every time I talk to Jeeves.
Hey, man, I'm not the one smacking Jeeves. You know?
All right, then. Well, that's awesome. That's an incredible ministry. I just finished working on an 8-page script that one of my friends is doing the artwork for, and hopefully we can use it as a submission or as a, you know, a showpiece to hopefully get the ball rolling with publishers or things like that. He wanted something that he really enjoys drawing. He gave me a couple of options, and we went with a Lone Ranger story, which is... I'm sort of an old school Lone Ranger fan instead of the new stuff. Even though the comic book that Sergio Cariello is doing, Cariello, how do you pronounce his name? And I got it right here. Brett Matthews is writing. Fantastically done. It's just more of a new school style, and we didn't want to copy that. We didn't want to, you know, basically reinvent what they just reinvented. So we just went for the old school. Yeah, basically. I mean, they're doing a great job. We just wanted to do something that was a little bit different, and went with an old school style. So it was fun to write. I don't usually write westerns. I'm not a huge western fan, although a well done western will catch my eye. I'm a big fan of the old time radio Gunsmoke shows, because what they did with the stories. John Meston was one of the story writers who just did a fantastic job every time he picked up the pen to write a Gunsmoke story. And the sound effects, if anyone wants to find these, they're public domain. You can find them almost anywhere. Just put in Gunsmoke OTR into a search engine. You can find them almost anywhere.
I started listening to those because you mentioned them to me. Uh-huh. And I love them. But, you know, I subscribe to it on iTunes from one of the old-time radio type guys.
That's cool.
That puts it out as a podcast. And the most recent one was hilarious because it wasn't the actual episode. It was like the rehearsal.
Oh, cool.
For the episode.
Very cool.
And so they're going along, and then someone would mess up a line, and they'd start laughing at each other. And there's a couple times when – actually more than a couple times where they break character – the wrong music would get played, and then, you know, on purpose, I think, I'm assuming that, you know, the orchestra guy is getting in on some of the jokes there. I mean, it's just, it's funny. It was so funny.
Cool.
I can't remember what episode it actually was that they were doing, but
what's the know, website?
I'm listening to it thinking I'm listening to an actual episode, and then in the background you hear people laughing. And I'm wondering, was this some sort of special episode that was like done as a live performance or something like that? And there was one or two times when they not just broke character, but broke character to get the other characters, you know, the other actors on target. It was just funny.
That is hilarious. In old time radio, sometimes you'll get that. They still have rehearsal things. That, I mean, you don't see that in TV nowadays. You don't see a lot of, I guess the Gary Shandling show back, you know, 20 years ago or something, did a good job of trying to give the live aspect of a show, and he would always break the fourth wall and everything and talk to what's going on. And the audience would get involved in the show, and it was more raw. You don't have a lot of live TV shows nowadays. A lot of this old-time radio stuff happened live, or else it was recorded live. And, you know, some of those recordings still exist, which is fantastic.
I was glad to hear you were doing that Lone Ranger thing, and I was thinking to myself, you know, that's something that you guys can actually, you know, you can use as your sample. But with just a couple tweaks to the art, that could be a standalone story that you could actually, you know, publish or actually use.
We could. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an option. But right now we're just sort of keeping it for the purpose that it is. And who knows, in the future maybe we'll be working on the Lone Ranger actual comic book, and this will be something like trade paper. Right now it's serving its purpose, and hopefully it'll make a couple of people see what we can do.
Art and writing.
A good friend of mine and a great artist, Kevin Anderson. Yeah, you can check stuff out at kanderson137.deviantart.com.
We started working on a comic strip about a year ago, and then he got some paying jobs. So, and no big deal. I mean, I understand that. Any good writer will understand that. Artist is doing your stuff most of the time. If you're not paying him, you should be really grateful, because this guy puts a lot of effort into creating what the characters look like. And as much as a writer puts in the research time to get everything to feel and sound right when he's writing the story, the artist has to put in an incredible lot of time to figure out what is in the background in certain scenes, you know, what would normally just be there, things that you would breeze over if you were writing it, because you evoke things when you write that when you do the art, there's really no way to evoke, things that are on a shelf in the background, unless you just draw them hastily. But, you know, when you get a good artist and he's doing small things and he's making little changes here and there, and really digging into it and enjoying what he's doing, it adds a level to the whole story, the whole project. You can bounce off, you know, when you get the art back, you can look at it and say, well, this was my dialogue, but now that I see the art, I'm going to write it a slightly different way, because, you know, I'm going to reference this, or I'm going to use this word instead of that word. And it's much more of a complementary process.
It is interesting. I mean, when it comes to the actual final product, so much more man hours go into the artwork than into the writing. Right. And it's something I kind of feel bad about sometimes, you know, because it's easy to write something. I mean, obviously a lot of research goes into it, especially if you're doing something historical or
something deep. Look at Astro City. He did all the research on the front end, so he can write these things, and it has the feeling of depth. But, you know, yes, I mean, if you're writing an existing universe, then it sort of starts to roll pretty easy. If you wanted to do a Spider-Man episode, it would be sort of easy because you would know all the different things. You're writing for an audience who knows all the different aspects that are there. They know that at any time the Avengers could come to help him. So, you know, you're using the tools that are already in the toolbox. And when you're just starting out, that's when you're filling up the toolbox. And a lot of that is placed on the artist when he's creating what the characters look like and the settings and the, you know, all that design. Another project that I started with someone else, he asked if he could have co-creator credit for his work on it. And I was more than happy to give him co-creator credit because I know he was doing just about half the stuff. I gave him ideas of what the people might look like, but now he has to go back and look at exactly what I'm thinking about and what did I mean when I referenced this kind of a hat or all that stuff. And now it's on him to create these believable characters. So, as a writer, if you're a writer, please feel free to to give co-creator credits to an artist who is working on the bare bones of your story. First of all, it goes a long way to make those characters special to the artist because he knows that part of those characters are him. Part of those characters belong to him. And once you care about the characters, well, you're just going to put a lot more care into the characters. And it's that particular artist has now gone on to some professional stuff. So he has a lot of times when you're a writer or an artist, you're working on more than one thing at the same time. Seldom is it linear. You work on something and handhold it until the end and then go back and start working on something else. So a lot of times you might hear us talking about multiple projects going on. And, a lot of these might fall by the wayside, but, a lot of them will probably go on to much bigger things. And maybe the ways that we're talking about them, maybe in completely other ways. So it's as a writer, as a creator, and as an artist, I would only assume it's like that. You're working on multiple things.
Well, I have to. My kids don't eat if I don't. So
they could come over here. You could send them over here.
A little bit long of a commute to get there, but
less than 1,000 miles.
I have a bunch of different projects that I just want to do, but man, you just can't. You have to get an artist as excited about the project as you are,
right?
And because if they don't care about it, it's just torturing them. It's and one way to get them to care about it is to give them money,
right?
I mean, that's a probably the most effective way. Or you got to get them to catch the passion. And I don't know how many projects I've had where, I've thought that I had someone's passion, like, okay, this is good, only to find out that really, they weren't excited about it, and so they're just going to move on to something else. But then there's also things like Armor Quest, where that caught Sherwin's passion, and he was just, we're going to do this. We're going to make it happen. Yeah. And it did. It went and got published and I was able to sell, animation rights to it and digital rights. And it actually ended up becoming a nice little, cash cow, I guess. Well, it might not be the best word for it, but it fed my family for a while. It paid for our house payments for a while.
Yeah. Sherwin just did an amazing job on it. I mean,
he's
fantastic anyway, but, you could really tell that it was something that he cared about and wanted to, make sure it was cohesive, make sure everything looked the way it should. There's a couple of science fiction elements in the story. If the listener aren't understanding what we're talking about, it's a six-issue series called Armor Quest, and it's basically a medieval story, but it has a couple of science fiction elements that don't betray the story. It's not like they rely on those science fiction elements as a deus ex machina or anything like that. It's they're just elements that are that sort of take it out of the realm of, you know, this didn't happen in our past. It happens in someone's reality, and it's actually going on somewhere. And it's metaphorical and allegorical, and just a wonderful read if you enjoy that medieval type of feel to stories, and especially quest stories. But you know, he made them seem like they belonged there. It wasn't, you know, everyone look out, here comes a hover sled. Everyone, there's a hover sled over there. You know, it wasn't as overt as that. There wasn't a call to attention to it. But as you're reading the story, you get to understand that world. And, you know, some worlds use magic. This world had, you know, some scientific stuff that was a little bit, you know, not what we experienced in our reality.
Well, it started out organically, though, as we were figuring out what the armor was going to be like. I mean, the armor was a big part of this story. Right. And I wanted it to be something different than just, you know, Lord of the Rings or you know, Excalibur or something like that. And so we added in, you know, like, okay, these boots don't just, you know, they're not just armor, you know, and they don't just protect your feet, but they jump you. You know, you can't fly in them, but you can jump really far. And so just figuring out, okay, how would that work? Well, if they had these, you know, if it kind of gives thrust and shoots them up in the air, they wouldn't just use it for boots. You know, they would use it for other things. And so one of the things, you know, that went into the in the very first little 8-page preview story that we did, just as a proof of concept kind of thing, I told Sherwin, you know, you don't see wheels. They don't use wheels in this world because they don't need to. Because they have this element that provides lift and pushes away from solid objects. And so they're able to balance things on these cerulean crystals is what we call them. And it provides lift and gives lift, and that's what's inside their boots. And so yeah, if you look in Armor Quest, there are very rarely will you see any wheels. You might see like a wheelbarrow or something like that.
Right.
That was early direction was, you know, no wheels. But the hope with that project was, like you said, you know, where they're not just saying and explaining, oh, look, there is that, and this is how it works. But it's just you see it, and it's there.
Right.
And it makes sense in the world because hopefully it makes sense, I should say. Because in my brain it makes sense. And right. So that's why I say hopefully it makes sense. Because sometimes my brain does not. But, you know, I tried to create a working world. And later on, when we were working on some possible animation projects for this with a producer, a lot of what I had done was called to task. And, you know, they're saying things like, well, if they have this, why don't they have this? And if they have that, why don't they? And it wasn't like in a antagonistic manner. It was just, you know, okay, we need to think through this logically. And
right.
you better have a reason for this because people are going to wonder. Why can't they fly? They have these rocket boots. Why can't they fly? And so I had to explain, well, they're not really rockets. You know, they're pushing off of something, and you can't push off of air.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, once you get that initial boost, you're going to fall down eventually. But that did bring up the idea of, well, they could glide, though. You know, that initial boost with some wings, they could do some pretty cool stuff with gliding.
Right.
Where you wouldn't have to jump off of a cliff with a, you know, a hang glider, but you could actually get the lift from your boots. And so there, that concept was never actually brought into anything of the gliding. But there's a couple other things, like a mechanical armor that's basically like a Lord of the Rings inspired Robotech mech kind of thing. That's powered by these crystals that give the push. And that's actually in the next series of stories, which hopefully we publish soon. I hope so. Written 5 of the 6. They're actual novellas, not comic books though.
Cool. They have some artwork in them.
Yeah, they do. But world building, it's fun, it's hard, and when you're taken to task for it, man, it can be, sometimes I felt like I was being attacked, you know? Yeah, I mean, so how does this work again? How do they activate the boots? They don't touch anything, do they? And so I actually had to, you know, sit down and work out how you would activate the boots in an unnatural foot movement so you wouldn't be walking around and do something. You know, and it was kind of like thinking about Spider-Man, though. You know, Spider-Man, he activates his webs with his middle finger and his ring finger. And if he doesn't do it with those two fingers, it doesn't work. And so that way, when he makes a fist, he doesn't actually shoot webs.
Well, this brings us to a natural break in the discussion before we launch into the second part, which will be featured in a special episode concerning the movie Avatar, what we liked and what we didn't like, coming from the viewpoint of both writers and Christians. The Avatar special episode should be made public by the end of April, and we hope to establish a once or twice a month schedule from here on out. We didn't get to our Icon series this time, and won't be featuring the segment in the Avatar special, but you can still suggest an icon if you'd like, and maybe, just maybe, we'll find out what I've been reading sometime around episode 4 or 5. Good luck. Don't hold your breath. If you'd like to suggest icons or topics, or find out more about us or the podcast, or what Christianity is really all about, you can reach us at comicbookcrossover@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you have to say. You can find us online at crossoverpodcast.com. Thanks to Ben for creating a new URL that we can all love and enjoy. Music is again from the song Comfort by Wretch from their album Ambulatory. And until next time, keep reading and keep looking deep.
So that's that. Yay.
Wow.
That's the beginning of Strangers and Aliens.
You guys have aged so much since then. I can hear it in your voices.
We've aged so much, but aged so well. Yeah.
there's a lot more wisdom in your vocal cords.
Yeah. I listen to that and I just think, was I ever that young?
Yeah.
I mean, we're only talking, what, 2 years? Three? No, because it's more than 2 years. So we're talking like 3.5, 4 years ago, but.
Yeah, something like that. It was right around that time. No, it was a little bit before Sci-Fi Christian podcast began.
It was. You know, I never. There's no proof. We can't prove the date.
I remember vividly not listening to the Sci-Fi Christian podcast at that time.
Yeah,
it's a very strong memory.
Yeah. If I look here, the date that it gives me was October 11th. No, that's the date that was added to my iTunes library.
Yeah, this was in January, I believe.
This sounds like really boring.
Yeah, we've gone into. I have no way of proving that it was before the Sci-Fi Christian, other than to ask people. You just have to take us at our word.
And so, who are you going to believe, us or them?
Well, exactly.
Yep.
So exactly. It was, yeah, there's just no way to know. No way to tell, but it was before Sci-Fi Christian. That is the beginning of the Strangers and Aliens podcast. And without those little episodes there, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing right now. And I'm actually enjoying what we're doing right now a little bit more because we actually have the third voice. Shazbot.
The third half of the show.
Yeah, Shazbot.
Yeah, Shazbot. The third half. That makes so much sense on so many levels.
So
in the appendix as well.
Guys, this was episode 99. Next episode is episode 100. It is going to be released on our second anniversary. So that's been 2 years of doing this little thing. What do you guys think? Are you excited?
Rock and roll.
Is this?
Yeah.
I think this is really fun. This is
that's
really cool.
Crazy.
100 episodes, two years. Yeah.
We could just keep going.
I think we should.
In fact, I think 200 episodes in 3 years, 300 episodes in 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sci-Fi Christian did just hit episode 200. Although I would contend, since they keep replaying episodes, that they're probably at like 175, really. Maybe 150. But,
yeah, but don't they do like 5-minute episodes?
They have in the past, yeah. I was actually worried about getting to episode 100. So I was actually considering posting a 5-minute episode that was just going to be, episode 100 is coming. Here's what you could do.
Cheat.
Yeah.
Cheat.
But I think, no, I'm exercising patience. And I thought, okay, we can do this. We can do this. We can have content for every episode. I don't have to cheat. We'll make it. But yeah, so next episode.
One of Dr. Jace's sermons. That will help.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve will play one of his tapes and talk about it. Yeah, everyone wins.
Yeah. So episode 100 is next. And
I'm really interested to see who's on your list, especially your top 10. I'd like to see how many of them are the same and how many of them are different.
Yeah, what I'm curious is how the three lists are going to work with the listeners' lists, because like I said, you guys haven't seen the listeners' lists yet.
No, but I'm thinking that Steve's going to put all the his biggest obscure characters in the top 10 just to be that way.
No, you'll probably mine will be iconic. The top 10, you'll know them.
Okay.
It's not going to be, you know, Anger Boda, you know. It'll be ones you know. It'll be ones you know.
Well, I'm just curious. I'm more curious almost about what's in your 90s. Like things that are just like, I'm trying to get this list. I have to get to 100.
I can see it now.
I'm doing pretty good.
The third hair follicle from Chewie's second movie in Empire Strikes Back.
No, it'd be Jango Fett's 97th clone. Jango Fett's 98th clone. Jango Fett's 99th clone.
Now you're just being, you're making fun. That's no good.
But I'm excited about next episode. Next episode, episode 100, the 100 greatest characters of science fiction and fantasy based on us three and our listeners' preferences.
Yeah.
It'll be cool.
Yep.
And we've already gotten some really awesome listener feedback on this. So, yeah. All that said, you guys have anything to add? Any final words for this episode before we get to episode 100?
Thank you for listening to all 99 episodes. And if you haven't listened to all 99 episodes, don't just go to 100. You have to go back and listen to all of them in order.
I disagree.
In fact, even if you have listened to like most of them or whatever, just go back to the beginning.
I disagree.
Because you might have missed one. You might have missed half an episode. You might have dozed off during Dr. Jace's parts or something. So just stay with it and work you. What do you mean you disagree?
I just don't want anyone to get scared.
I'm sorry. I just dozed off right there.
Don't be scared of what? Just of listening to 150 hours of content?
Yeah.
What's this be scared about?
I'm just saying.
It's 150 hours of pure gems. These are like jewels dropped from the mouth of baby snakes.
Great.
I have no idea what that means. But Dr. Jace, do you have any last words? Maybe some more coherent words?
Let's stop now before it gets worse.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. I also want to thank you. And until next time, everyone, Godspeed. You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Steve MacDonald, and Dr. Jace O'Neill. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. Please join in the conversation by visiting our website, strangersandaliens.com, where you will find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also email us directly at podcast@strangersandaliens.com, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/strangers, or you can leave us a voicemail on the Strangers and Aliens hotline. Just call 1-804-37-ALIEN and leave your message. And once again, thanks for listening.